You'll find great articles and news that others are not talking about. TruthsThatFree.com. That's TruthsThatFree.com. This message from First Conservative Baptist Church. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Be delighted to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. We're talking about today an issue that I believe every Christian, every conservative needs to grasp and understand. And that is the question, let me boil it down, kind of summarize it. When we see what's happening on a global basis, when we look at what is happening in America, when we view what is the potentiality of destroying our constitutional republic in our nation, and the shutting down of churches, and the persecution of Christians, when we see all of this happening, we watch what is happening in Jerusalem and all of Israel, how should we then live? By the way, that's in the plucking out of verse 10 out of Ezekiel chapter 33. In Ezekiel 33, it's talking about the watchman on the wall. And God's given Ezekiel instructions to warn of dangers ahead. And God tells Ezekiel, if you do not warn and there's danger and damage, their blood is on your hands. If you warn and they listen, then God says you've done well. And he says, then based on what he's just said, how should we then live? So, ladies and gentlemen, the question today is based on what we see happening. How should Christians live? What ought to be our response? What ought to be our mindset? How should we then live? What should we do in view of what is happening? And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to any news, if you understand anything about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, we know that Israel is the apple of God's eye, the very, the center of focus on a global basis. And right now, we're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, let's set the stage. Then I'm going to ask Dr. Pierce to respond to it and Greg to respond to it. And the scripture in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia is going to lead a 5-nation coalition against Israel. That 5-nation is Iran, Turkey, Germany, Libya, and Syria. And ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the coming together, the coalition of all of these nations now coming against Israel. I'm looking at a headline. To ask a question, if Turkey invades Israel, it will be with American weapons. Erdogan says today that it's not certain creation, but the result of long evolution coupled with the arrogance that comes with believing the West is weak. Speaking to his ruling party in his hometown on the 28th of July, Turkey's president threatened to intervene in its military aggression against Israel. There are a lot of people that do not recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is happening with the coalition coming together and the coalescing of these nations. Around Israel today, 7 different groups, going back to the Houthis out of Yemen, firing missiles over into Israel. We find going into Tel Aviv, we find Hamas, we find Hezbollah, we find those on the West Bank, and I could go on and on. I think there's 7 that we can look at that's really now coming against Israel. And so Dr. Pierce, my question that I'd like to hear your response to for our listeners to understand, what role does Israel play in the last days? And do we see these nations as they're coming together aggressively against Israel? Are those indicators that we're near the last days? And what should we take from that? How should we respond to that?
Absolutely, it is. As a matter of fact, when you look at all the surrogates that are coming on basis of Iran, but you got to throw Sudan in there as well. If you go back to the October 7th massacre that took place, when it took place, and who all was behind it and aided and assisted in that, all of the nations that you mentioned were a part of that. Mm-hmm. And then when you take what happened in April with the Iran directly firing weapons at Israel, we see everything in place. And everybody says, yeah, but the Iron Dome and this, that. But let me tell you, even the Iron Dome is not able to keep all of those. If you were to take the Iron Dome success rate, there's only one answer that defended Israel, and that is God.
Amen.
For all of those missiles to be stopped. And let me, what else is happening? If perchance this election is stolen and the Harris camp gets in the White House and they stop all of the shipment of all of the weapons to Israel, like they're saying they will do,
yes,
then Israel will not have an endless supply. They're not able to manufacture. And then that's why when God gets Israel in that place, nobody will be able to deny that it's God that is doing the defense. And that's what takes place when that Ezekiel 38-39 war comes. God is going to cut it off, mm-hmm. and he's going to stop it, and it's going to be miraculous. But for the Bible prophecy to be fulfilled, God has to be the one who protects and intervenes,
yes.
not the United States.
Absolutely.
And we're starting to see that more and more, even in the defense that's happened, building up to that climax very soon.
Absolutely. In fact, Greg, before I ask you to jump in the discussion on that issue, I have some medical issues, and I just recently got a new physician. He's been in America for 24 years. He's from Russia. And since it was my first visit with him about 4 weeks ago, he didn't realize it, but I was kind of having a dialogue and discussion with him to interview him as a physician. And we got to talking about prophecy. I was telling him about the radio broadcast each day, asking him to tune in, gave him the invitation card to listen. And we talked about Israel. And he said, you know, it's amazing that it seems like they can win any war and that nothing can beat them. I said, Doctor, you realize why? And he kind of stood with a gazing look. And I said, the reason is Israel is the apple of God's eye, and it's God's protection of Israel that's protecting them. He said, I believe they could beat any nation that comes against them. I said, absolutely. But it's not Israel itself. It's God doing it to protect them.
And Joshua had to learn that, didn't he?
Right.
With Jericho and then Ai after that, he said, I didn't come to help you. I'm not on your side or their side. I came to take over because it's all about me.
All about me.
It's all about God.
Absolutely. Greg, I don't know, others might seem to hear this, but I get excited when I see these things taking place, when I see these enemies coming against Israel, when I watch them, and as Dr. Pierce just mentioned with the Iron Dome, I think on one occasion coming out of Hezbollah, developed and promulgated by Iran, some 300 missiles, and I think the Iron Dome clipped all of them but about 8 or 10, and just very recently Tel Aviv was hit with some missiles, and it's all coming out of Iran. And with that being said, what are your thoughts as far as the timing and what we see and what we see taking place? And should Christians be concerned? Now, Dr. Pearson, Greg, perhaps you have witnessed this and you've seen this yourself. Christians basically have been lulled into believing that it doesn't make any difference. That's happening over there. And it doesn't make any difference. It's not going to affect me. It doesn't make any difference because Israel doesn't need to exist. And we've got in our colleges and universities, we've got the open-minded airheads. We've got those that, as Islam calls them, the useful idiots, that's promoting and promulgating and pushing for the destruction of Israel. They're saying from the river to the sea, and they're literally talking about the obliteration and the annihilation of the nation of Israel. And Greg, as I understand, in Zechariah the 12th chapter, verses 7 and following, left page, left column in my Bible, it is my understanding that when it seems as though Israel is going to be annihilated, that's what triggers the Lord Jesus Christ to leave his throne in glory and to return and to prevail, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21, and slay the enemies with the sword of his mouth. So what should Christians do? How should we respond to what we know?
First off, we've seen a decline in Christendom as we've seen pastors not taking the pulpit, not standing firmly on the Word of God, trying to be mealy-mouthed, pacifying the culture. And the reality is, when you speak the truth of the Word of God, you're not going to make stacks of friends. But think about how this turning our back on the anti-Semitism that's so pronounced in the culture today, and how that must be just before Jesus returns. Even the fact that I run into believers that say, you know, he's delayed his return for 2,000 years. It may be another 1,000 years. And many of them say that with almost a firm belief that, hey, he's not coming anytime soon. I'm going, your statement affirms that his return is likely very soon. Mm-hmm. You're one of those scoffers that the Scripture speaks of. And there's been no time in the past 2,000 years that we've seen so many things align so perfectly with Scripture. First off, Israel had to be reinstated as a nation, and that took place in 1948. And that text that you referenced earlier with Matthew 24 and repeated in Luke and Mark, we see that generation would not pass. You know, generations are defined three different ways in Scripture. I think the appropriate definition is, as we see these things begin to come together, that people alive then will see it all the way through to the end. That generation that saw, I believe, the reinstatement of Israel as a nation in 1948. By the way, that generation doesn't have that many more years left. So I think we're seeing everything kind of poured out before us. And the most important thing in the world that the believer can do today is to share Jesus. Mm-hmm. The reality is, there will come a time that will look very much like hell on earth. That is the second half of the tribulation. It'll be an evil, a wicked, a horrible time. As was just explained, it's God's thumos, his white-hot anger being poured out on a Christ-denying world. I'll tell you what, not only do I not want to see that, but I wouldn't want to see any of my friends end up in that lake of fire. I would want for them to know Jesus before the knee is forced to bow one day. I would want them to know Jesus so that they can know his love. I would want them to know Jesus so that they could see an eternity in glory with me. I called an uncle one time years back, and I told him how much I loved him and how much I appreciated him and how much, you know, areas of my life I sought to kind of mimic areas of his life. And then I let him know that I wasn't sure about his salvation, and I just couldn't see heaven being heaven without him. And he assured me, I'm right with the Lord. I'll see you there. I'll tell you what, that is the best feeling on earth, is to know that your friends are going to join you in glory one day.
Amen. Greg, I think we have a caller. Jay, go ahead, your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. My name is Jay Rogers. I gave my life to Christ about 12 weeks ago now.
Amen. Congratulations. I'm delighted to hear that, Jay.
Yes, sir. He saved me from a life that I did not like, and man, when I had an encounter with Jesus, I'm just like, music sounds a lot better now. I just want to read the Bible all the time.
Amen. I like that. Well, Jay, one of the things I highly recommend, you may have already done that, find a local Bible preaching, Bible teaching, New Testament church, lock arms with that congregation, study the Word, stay in the Word, continue to grow in the Word, and to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is to be preeminent in our lives. It's not our will, but his be done should be our desire. And you touched on it, and I'm thankful to hear that. Once we say yes to Christ, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We have a new want to, a new desire, a new hope, a new plan, a new mindset. And you may have already discovered this, Jay, but once we say yes to Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about leaving old friends that are lost and that want to drag us down, they leave us as we say yes to Jesus Christ, because they're afraid, many times afraid of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jay, brother, thank you so much for your testimony. Thank you for calling. And I continue to pray that God will give you wisdom and insight in and through his word, that your life might be fully surrendered each and every day to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your call, Jay. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're broadcasting remotely today. We're up in the southern tip of heaven, known as Greenville, Tennessee. And I'm thankful to be here in the studio with the pastor that is the pastor of the Towering Oaks Baptist Church. I'm thankful that we can be with Dr. Pierce, Tommy Pierce, and with one of our four sons, Greg. Greg is ministering here with Dr. Pierce and the congregation of Towering Oaks Baptist Church. And I'm thankful that we can come to you remotely as we're doing today. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Perhaps you, as our previous caller, Jay, would like to share your testimony about saying yes to Jesus Christ, how it's changed your life, revolutionized your life, and what your new life in Christ is like, and what you'd like God to use you in serving him to fulfill your commitment and his commitment to you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me touch on a little different aspect of the total picture that we're talking about today. We're in a society today, just like in our state, the state of Florida, where there's six amendments on the ballot from November the 5th. Amendment 3 is talking about pot, the legalization of marijuana for recreational use. And the fourth amendment that they're wanting to validate is that of murder by way of abortion. I'm going to touch on those two things very briefly to get to the point in asking the question. Is it possible for a Christian to say, I am in agreement with murder by way of abortion? I call it murder. Thou shalt not kill, in Exodus chapter 20, I believe it's verse 13, where there's the mindset that we can murder a baby and it's okay. And it's, as women say today, Kamala Harris pushing and promulgating it, it's my body, I can do as I please. That infant in the mother's womb is not your body. It's a new body that God has created. So my question is, ladies and gentlemen, in these last days, where we're seeing the fulfillment of prophetic eschatological texts that are readying the world for the rapture of the church, we see the larger and larger, if you please, increase in those numbers of wanting immoral, ungodly, unholy lifestyles and embracing that. So the question that I'd like for you to respond to at 904-831-0917, is it possible for a Christian to embrace murder by way of abortion? Is it possible for one that said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord to have anything to do with a platform of any party, if you please, political party, that pushes to embrace the immoral lifestyle? I say no. Greg, what say you? Can a person say, I'm a Christian and I believe in murder by way of abortion? Can a person say, I'm a Christian and I believe that we need to simply totally destroy the Bill of Rights, our right to keep our arms, our right to have religious liberties, etc.? What are your thoughts on that?
I think any person that does that should check up, see whether or not they be in the faith. The reality is you can't be systemically adverse to the word of God while simultaneously claiming to be one of his. You can't walk in the light and embrace darkness. We can walk through the scripture together, but there are so many things that we're observing in the culture today and society today, and in one particular party today, that they don't resemble biblical values, Christian values. And you know, sadly, it was recently compared, this DNC convention, where you know they were having walk-in vasectomies and walk-in abortions that were offered before the convention, and it was compared to tribal or ritual a child sacrifice in prior generations before a temple would be opened or consecrated, if you will, or a pyramid, that they would have a mass child sacrifice ritual. And we just saw that play out at the DNC. I'm concerned.
Well, at the DNC, if I could jump in a moment, they had two mobile abortion clinics offering free abortions. And that's antithetical to anything called central biblicist truth. And yet, Greg, what we'd recognize is that somehow, some way, we're in a battle. We're in a battle.
It's,
and Ephesians, the sixth chapter, talks about that battle. And Dr. Pearson, Greg, let's join in the thoughts for just a moment. If we're in a battle, if we're going to fight the enemy, we need to recognize who the enemy is and how the enemy is carrying out that battle. A lot of times Christians sing that song. It's a wonderful song, Onward Christian Soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before, not even fully recognizing that we are in a battle. So if we're going to recognize the enemy, we need to also be dressed for battle. A soldier does not go out without his armament on, his weapons in hand to carry out the battle. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Oh, yes, sir. Dr. Young, well, yes, it's a total abomination what was happening at the DNC. They aborted 25 babies in the parking lot at the DNC convention, right in the parking lot.
It's
and
sad.
Then, did you catch what Nancy Pelosi said? She says, we are reptilian. We are of the reptilian race. And we're going to protect our race. You can watch it out on BitChute, on TikTok, where she said reptilian. She mentioned this twice already on a newscast about reptilians. So yes. There is a serpent seed. There is a seed of Satan, a serpent seed that's out there. And that explains, and that's why there's all this evil going on the face of this earth. And we need to pray for Israel and protect Israel, because those who stand with Israel will be blessed, right?
So, absolutely. Kevin, brother, you're on target, and I'm thankful for your insight and your wisdom that God's given you in that. So now let's make a transition briefly, and I'll take one moment before I let you go. If we know that we're in a battle, if we recognize the battle, we recognize the enemy, how should we then live? What should you do? What should I do? How should we live as Christians? What ought we to do?
What are we to do? We're to fast and pray. We're to get with other believers and pray. And we're to take the nation back by active participation and contacting our congressmen and our senators and doing all we can to say we're not going to put up with these laws, which are anti-Christ laws. One thing, another thing is in the Bible, and you'll agree with me with this, King Asa said, if you don't keep the laws of Yahweh, then you will perish, you will die. And I believe there's absolutely no authority for, there is no reason for church and state. There is no separation whatsoever of church and state. The government must uphold the laws of God in this land. And our founding fathers actually had that. You know that with common law and the Constitution is only a guideline to that.
Kevin, you're exactly right. One of the things, let me jump in and say this, and we've got some other callers we've got to pick up, but there is a separation of church and state, not as the state says, but you look at Second Chronicles chapter 26, and you see King Uzziah, the chief priest and 80 other priests said, don't go into the temple and offer sacrifice. That's the responsibility of the religious leaders, the temple leaders. King Uzziah made the decision he was going to do that anyway, and God killed him. That I use that as an illustration. There's a separation of church and state, and it's a separation that bases on the basis that the state cannot enter the church's business. That's the bottom line. It ought to be left to the churches to carry out the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Kevin, brother, thank you so much for your input. I believe we have Andrew on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, you know, I, as a conservative, I'm just heartbroken by what you're saying, because it's the truth. You know, there are some people that claim to be Christians, and yet they have no qualms about taking the life of the little innocent baby in the womb. You know, it's just, I can't believe what I'm seeing now. You know, I'm 51 years old. I can't believe the way this country is going.
Kevin, one of the things that it's going to take Christians being salt and light, as God has charged us with the responsibility of being. Dr. Pierce, take a moment and touch on that for Andrew, as far as what we need to do of taking America back, taking the gospel back, coming back to the basics. How should we then live? What should we do, Dr. Pierce?
Paul, in writing his letter several times, outlines the difference in the deeds of the flesh and the deeds of the spirit. And he says we're to walk in the Spirit. And one of the best things we can do is we can live our lives in such a way it demands an explanation from others. And they ask why Amen. We do what we do. We let them know what the difference is and what made the difference. And each one of us, it starts with us, then moves to our family, and then moves out. We can't demand on others what we ourselves don't do. And that's why it's ridiculous for someone who claims the name of Christ to support an abortion. That's contradictory. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand what being a Christian means, because a Christian is one who is led and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And he would never lead anyone contrary to his word to commit a murder like is happening when an abortion takes place. And so we've got to start with those who are around us. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to do what we, only God can change a heart, you know, but because of that, because we cannot control other people's hearts, we have to have laws to protect us, because Satan has won the victory in so many hearts. And there are a lot of people out there who are not children of God, but are children of the devil. And Jesus said, you are not sons of the Father, but sons of the devil. That's I'll exactly, let you take over since we're getting low on time there.
Dr. Pierce, that's exactly right. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize the thought and ask Greg to jump in a moment to wrap us up today. But what I have concluded that is the biblical approach, for example, in Psalms 146, verse 3, put not your trust in princes nor in the sons of man in whom there is no help. We can talk about electing Donald Trump, and I'm in agreement with that. We can talk about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, that I believe is the worst case scenario for the United States of America.
Absolutely.
Tim Walz put into effect during COVID a snitch line, so that if a person walked out of the home without a mask or got in the car, drive down the street, the neighbor was to call in and the police would go out, arrest, prosecute, persecute, put in jail, or fine that individual. That's what we're faced with that would be promulgated today and carried out if that is the individuals elected. But we need to recognize that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. That is the demonic delusion that's today, that we're going to fight each other, fight others in their particular position, when it's a demonic battle. But Greg, in that text in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, it talks about putting on the whole armor.
Put on the whole
take
armor.
Take a moment and address that and what we're talking about.
We need to, as believers, realize there is a battle before us, and we do need to put on the whole armor of God. Throughout the scripture, you have a battle posture. Paul was tried and tested and true, and he spoke of things from a battle posture, running a race and fighting a battle, and he fought the good fight. The church today, the church that's in decline, sees the church as a cruise ship, and we ought to see it as a battleship. And at the end of the day, we ought to see, as Paul says, and be able to say, I have fought the good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith. Today, Amen. Believers, keep the faith. Stand up for what is right. Stand up for the scripture. Stand up for the truth.
Absolutely.
Today.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, let me say we need to prepare, we need to plan, and we need to pray, asking God to divinely intervene in these last days. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You are invited to participate in a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist